Welcome to Spiritual Shit You Need to Know, a lifestyle podcast for millennial women, lightworkers, and spiritual badasses who are waking up, ready to tap into their powers and own it like a true boss. I'm your host, Regis Cowan, spiritual entrepreneur and life coach, and my passion is helping women like you get out of your own way and step your mindset game up. Are you a spiritual woman who's questioning her life, wanting more meaning and purpose, and you're ready to live your most amazing life? Then this is the place for you. Your time is now. Let's get to it. This week's episode is all about numerology as I'm chatting with my guest, Nova Lee Wilder. She is a Danish actress and artist turned professional numerologist and writer living in LA. From 12-step programs to internationally acclaimed professional training, she has explored the keys to understanding and illuminating the human condition through all her work. Yet, nothing compared to the experience of changing her name with the help of numerology. Blown away by the clarity and accuracy of this ancient spiritual tool, her life changed course as she studied to master it. She is also the author of A Little Bit of Numerology, host of the Numerology Podcast, and founder of the Numerology School. She offers one-on-one name change sessions, mentorship, training, and talks about the sacred spiritual science of numbers and letters. Let's dive into this conversation with Nova Lee. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I have a special guest with me here today, Nova Lee. We are going to talk about numerology, how you can apply it to your life, what it is, how it came about. And there's so many gems that you can learn about yourself from numerology. So, Nova Lee, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I am so happy to be here and to get to share.
Yes, it's so exciting. I was just telling her a few minutes ago how when I first started my spiritual journey, that numerology was one of the things that I took a deep dive into to learn about myself, my purpose, you know, things that I should be doing, shouldn't be doing, and really what lights me up. I was looking for that confirmation and I got it through numerology. So I'm excited to talk to you about it so we can share this with our listeners. And I want to just jump right in. So tell us a little bit about you. Like, how did you get into numerology or how did you discover it?
So I wouldn't describe myself as a spiritual person if you had met me like 10 years ago.
Okay.
I was an actress. I was acting. I was in school. I had a day job. You know, life was life. And then through a series of events, I ended up in New York at an acting school, and a lot of things had like changed in my life. I had a tough upbringing, and I was like, okay, new country, new friends, new language, like this is going to be good. And then like patterns from my past with men and women kept reoccurring. And I was like, I have worked on this so hard. Like I have really freaking worked on this. Why does it keep like repeating itself? And at that time I had a friend, or I still have this friend, and she suddenly changed her name. And I was like, what? And, she had gone to a numerologist because that's part of what we do as numerologists. We look at your name and what it says and the vibration behind it. And this numerologist has said, like, you can change some things about this and that's going to change your life. And so she did. And her life changed. And I was like, this is too insane.
Right.
This is too, like, I've always, like, been very intuitive. I think as an actor, you have to be, have a lot of empathy. You have to be able to, like, tune into people and atmospheres and scenes. You have to be able to project yourself into, like a bigger space. And something in my intuitive sphere was like, do it. Just do it. Do it. Go over there. You know, like something in me was like, just jump, because that's really what it was. It was a jump. It was not like, for me, it was not like a planned out long process. I basically just booked a session with this numerologist and I had the session and my mind was completely blown by all the things that she could see and say and all the stuff that she knew that I didn't want anyone to know.
Yes, that's the part that I didn't like.
I was like, how do you know this? I don't want to. Ugh. And she gave me name lists to choose from. I think that's like an important thing to add. If you go to a numerologist, we don't choose your, like, we don't pick your name for you. We give you like lists with names that have the right vibration, and you pick from there. So I changed my name, and that blew open so many things in my life, like my love life, my ability to like let love in, money. I mean, also just what I think most people would just call luck. Yeah. But just that sense of like, that's the right path because the door is opening. And that's sometimes, you know, like a hard thing for people to really grasp. But I have realized that like, I spent so many years knocking on closed doors, thinking somehow that, oh, it's meant to be tough.
Right.
It's meant to be really tough. It's meant to break you a little bit. You're supposed to become a little bitter when you're pursuing your dream because no one gets there easily. And that's just not true. you know, like I still believe in working hard, and I'm not saying that every door in the world is open to me. But energetically, I can now very clearly feel the difference between doing something where that's the right direction and that's just not the right direction for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I changed my name and my mind was blown and lots of things happened in the wake of that. And also like later I got a book deal when I became a neurologist and someone offered it to me. Like there was a lot of doors that just like suddenly opened. But back then I was just like, how? I don't understand. Like, how does this work? Like there needs to be more information. So I've studied, I mean, I've studied since then. That's like what, 2016 or something, 15, studied with different neurologists, learned what I could about the schools of thought that resonate with me and are the most complicated ones, because that's also how it is. If it was totally simple, then everyone would do it. And
yeah,
it's not totally simple to work on such a deep level with vibration. Like it does take some time to master the different things, because any kind of spiritual tool works as well as your intuition does. So like as you grow, your mastery of that tool grows too. Yeah, so I've just studied numerology ever since and, you know, became certified and found a new teacher and started like learning from them. And I think it's like a lifelong thing for me. And I didn't like back when I just wanted to be an actor, I could not think to ever have something else that I would be interested in. I was like, I just want to be an actor. and the beautiful thing about numerology is like, I want to be many things now. Like I want to be a numerologist and I am, but I also want to be a writer and I am, and I'm still an actor. And like, it's just also opened the door to like, I don't have to be one thing, because that's also very limiting to me, at least. Maybe some people find like freedom in that. But to me, I'm like, oh, to be more than one thing, that is freeing.
Absolutely. I like that you, you know, talked about how even though you changed your name, that, you know, there are still things that you have to master. Because I'm all about like, you know, you are going to have to take some action. You are going to have to listen to your intuition, because I know some people are probably thinking, okay, I'll just change my name and life will be perfect and I'll be great. But that's not exactly how it works, is it?
No, I mean, you will become more you. And then sometimes we have work to do around allowing ourselves to be. I find the numerology like overlaps with everything, but I've worked very hard on releasing certain patterns that was taught to me in my childhood, certain things with relationship, family, self-worth, self-love, self-care, a lot of self.
Yes.
I've worked very hard on those. And after my name change, I could see a lot of that work really paying off, because the vibrational changes could just kind of land because I had done the work. Sometimes I see that people get to be more themselves, which means that they can no longer run away from some of those traumas. And it's like, yeah, you got a real problem with this thing. And now you can't distract yourself in the same way.
Yes.
But then again, you know, like we can always run away. Like we can do good things for ourselves and then run away. You know, sometimes getting what we want doesn't really release that emotion that we're really chasing, because we haven't created space for that. So sometimes when people come to me and they say, oh, I want you know, I want to be rich, or like, I want a lot of love, or like, I want a perfect job, or like, tell me what like the one thing is for me. All I do is remind them of who they truly are. And in that process, you can really tell if they can accept that. Like, sometimes I feel like we rebel against who we truly are, because also the world has told us you need to be a certain way to get success, or you need to be a certain way to be a woman or a man, or yeah, whatever it is. Like, you need to do certain things. And if my job is to remind me of who you truly are and you do not fit into that little box, then you got to be okay with being outside the box. And that can be really challenging for people. Yes. To be like, okay, forever, I don't fit. And I'm like, yeah, that's your job in this lifetime, is not to fit. But that's the world will never stop asking you to fit.
It will not. It will always be an ongoing thing that you'll have to deal with.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love numerology because, well, yesterday I had another interview with a lady and we talked about hand analysis and how pretty much, yeah. you know about hand analysis.
Yes.
I had never heard of it. So this was like totally new to me. So I was glad that I could, you know, introduce it to other people too. But like, I just like that there are quote unquote scientific tools out here that can validate like who you are, what your purpose is, you know, things that you're attracted to. Like, there's a reason for everything in your life. And it's not just, you know, spiritual woo-woo. I mean, it is spiritual woo-woo, but it's not. Like, there are scientific tools out here that we have been blessed with that can give you that validation and that okay to say, I'm not what everybody thought I was or what society thinks I'm supposed to be. Like, this is who I am. And it's okay to be this way. Like, I love that about numerology and these scientific tools. It just blows my mind every time.
And also that, I mean, I really try to remind people that none of us have the full scope. Like, any kind of tool can be a way in. You don't have to go to the same palm reader as your friend. You don't have to, I don't know, change your name to something that sounds like whatever. Like, sometimes I think that we think in absolutes and we have to find the one thing, and that's just not true. Like, you can find a great Akashic Records reader and you can find a shitty one. You can find a great neurologist and a shitty one.
Absolutely.
But whatever it is, like, it just has to speak to you. So sometimes I also, when people are like, I wrote a book, and sometimes I talk to people and they're like, this was the answer. And then I talk to some other people who are like, I didn't understand anything at all. And I'm surprised by both things, because like, I just wrote a book. I find it's a fine book. It's a great book. But you know, it's not the end all be all absolute truth. It's an introduction to numerology. So I'm always interested when people say, like, I didn't understand anything. And I'm like, that's a very strong soul nudge that this is not for you. This is not your way in. This is not right now, at least. This is maybe for later. Like, sometimes when we're really pushed away from something, that's also a nudge.
Yes.
It's like, go look somewhere else. Other part of the bookstore. This is not what you're doing right now.
Yeah. I think the good thing about that people need to know is that when you're starting, you know, a spiritual journey or spiritual path, as I did, I mean, I dove into so many things like numerology and astrology and psychic readings and Akashic, like everything, you know, to see what resonated with me, because there were some things where I was like, okay, I don't know what the hell this is, but this shit just doesn't make sense to me. But I didn't let that stop me, you know, from my spiritual path or finding that thing that I felt like resonated with me, you know. And that's the thing here. Like, numerology is a tool. I'm with you. I don't see how it can't resonate with you in some aspect, because there are simple things that it will tell you that, you know, will give you that confirmation. It may not be something that you want to, you know, do a deep dive into or change your name. That may not be right for you. But it is a tool. It's a way, like you said, it's a way in. And so it's a small nudge, or it can be a big nudge, but it can definitely help you on your spiritual path. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah. Well, I agree.
Yes. So tell us a little bit, like, so for instance, someone's new coming into numerology. I know you said you wrote a book that kind of breaks all this down, but what are like the beginning steps that someone can take in numerology or learning about it?
So there are two major schools of thought in the Western world with numerology. And I think it's important to differentiate, because sometimes, you know, you read something somewhere and read something else somewhere else, and you're like, this conflicts. So there is Pythagorean numerology and there's Chaldean numerology. And we've put these two names on it without actually being able to say if it was Pythagoras who came up with the Pythagorean numerology or if it was the Chaldeans who came up with the Chaldean numerology. But it's like, it's just two schools of thought. The kind of numerology that I practice is Chaldean numerology. And that's the oldest one, the one we could trace the furthest back. And that's like around 3,000 years ago. But I am guessing that if we had more books and more access, we could probably go even further back. But we got some problems sometimes also with libraries, and not everything is online or being like still produced. Like some of the oldest books and texts are not available in the same way as other things are today. So in Chaldean numerology, we look at base numbers or life paths, and they come from the day you were born and the year you were born. In Pythagorean numerology, you add all numbers in a birthday up to find the life path number. I find that Chaldean numerology is more exact for a more practical approach. So like, yeah, if I want to identify your traumas and who you are meant to be, like what your soul wanted to express and experience in this lifetime, I look at your first base number, which comes from the day, and your second base number, which comes from the year. And it's always a digit sum. Like we can look at double digits. They are interesting. There's a lot of karma in there and lessons. But you, like, I'm born on the 28th and I'm not a 28th. I am a one. So like if you were born on a double digit day, you add the numbers together. So the 1st, the 10th, the 19th, and the 28th. All of these days will be a one, and so for like, and so like, if you move up the different numbers, like you always just look at the digit sum. So the very first thing you would find out about yourself is what, which one of the nine numbers you are. So does that make sense?
Yes, because I'm like, I'm born on 27, so that's nine.
So you're a nine, old soul.
Yes,
yes, would also make sense that you were wanted to share whatever wisdom you come upon. That makes sense. Yeah, so like the first base number is one of those nine numbers. And then when you like, when I read an essence, like when I read a birthday, I look at the interaction of everything. So of course, like if I was reading my own birthday, I was like, okay, so she's a one because she's born on the 28th and she's born in late July. That makes her a Leo. Interesting. Leo and the sun are also connected to the number one. So we got a lot of one Leo
energy,
sun energy in this essence. Then I would say, okay, she's born in 1986. We do some quick math here. 1 + 9 + 8 + 6 = 24. 2 + 4 = 6. So basically now I have, she's a one, she's a Leo, and she's a six. These are the three numbers that I see in that birthday. I could do more calculations if I wanted to, but these are the, like the major parts. Just as like if you wrote in this or read like an astrology chart, you'd be like, what's the sun sign? What's the moon sign? And what's the ascendant? Right. Like the three major pieces are the most important ones. I sometimes also do look at people's astrology chart, but I find that the more you have a deep understanding of the single numbers, the less you have to go digging for other aspects. At least that's my experience. Because over time, I've gotten more and more into astrology. And I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But it just means that I prep more for my sessions. I don't know if it actually benefits people. You know, sometimes I'm like, more information is not always helpful. We want to be as specific and concrete and practical as possible. At least I do.
Yeah, I'm like, sometimes less is more.
I mean, I love swimming away in the spiritual waters and getting like far out and talking about like karma and soul connections. But I also find it so lovely when we can just be super practical and be like, the reason you're having a problem with this person is because you are a one and you operate in the world like this, and they operate in the world completely differently. And that's what clashing here. It's not necessarily some kind of soul karma. It's not some bigger fight. It's simply like a worldview that is so different, and you just have to honor that.
So I have a question, since we're talking about like the two base numbers, the day and the year, because this is interesting, because I've probably more so looked into the Pythagorean numerology. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it says, you know, you add up all the days of the birth date, and my life path is a number six. Mm-hmm. But thinking in this realm of the Chaldean numerology, you know, me being born on 27th, I'm a nine. So is that more so like relating to what my life path is? Does the day number kind of correspond to that?
So the life path is like, I also feel like there's so many books on the life path. There's so many books on the Pythagorean numerology. And few that, I don't know, give you like practical help, I have to say. So if you are a nine, and you are a nine by being mm-hmm. born on the 27th, and then what's the rest of your birthday?
1984.
Yeah. So we got a little rebel leader going on here, because the nine and the four interact. So the first number is who you are and what you're meant to do. Like, it really is like, if you are a nine, and now we're doing the base numbers in kind of like a jumbled succession, but like nine is leadership, but it is not leadership as wanting to be first and wanting to be best. It's leadership that's more about authentic connection. It's more about justice. It's more about seeing the bigger picture. It's also like a theme about anger. The nine is connected to Mars. And it is also like the end of the line. It's completion. So when I look at any nine, I'm like, there's a loner element. Even when they're single, there is this sense of like understanding on some level that this is, I don't know, the end of the line. And learning to manage your anger and your fire is such a, I mean, always also interesting, because this is a masculine number. So whenever we are born female or identify as women, it's interesting to have a masculine number, because what your energy wants to do in the world and how people see you is going to be so different.
Yes.
So your directness won't be honored as much as it, you know, should.
Right.
Perfect world. But we don't live in a perfect world. And then the second number, your second base number, and that's the four for you, tells us something about what does it feel like inside of you. And sometimes we just step into that second base number a little bit when things are tough, because like, what is hardest? It's the hardest to be ourselves. So if we are not accepted in whatever group or in our family, we step into that second base number, which is usually just more accepted by people. And we don't get as traumatized if people don't like that part. So for you, that four energy is like Aquarian, Uranus,
yes.
Rebellious, different, black sheep, genius energy. So that's the, like, why I said like rebel leader is that thing of like, well, I am different. You better believe. Like, that energy is very, the four energy often identifies itself by what it's not part of. So, you know, people say like, oh, I'm from that city, I believe in these things, this is my political orientation, like whatever. Where the four says, well, I'm definitely not part of this group. And I definitely do not like adhere to this dogma,
right,
or whatever it is. So like the four spends sometimes more time defining itself as outside the group, which means that we'll draw on these people. When we have that energy, we will find the outsiders. We will feel like more connected to them. We will identify. And I mean, like, this is a genius combination. You know, like when you come with this stuff to Earth, these kind of numbers, it's like, okay, well, I have to color outside the line. And since I am my own authority, I have to give people permission to do that with me. Great example of a nine who is leading with her own authority is Elizabeth Gilbert.
Yes, I love her.
She shares, like, the more authentic she gets, the more we want to follow her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the more raw she gets, the more we're like, ooh, that's interesting. We don't, like, shy away. Like, some people get raw and everyone is like, that's a little uncomfortable. I don't want to see you in this situation. Maybe you should keep that private. But one of the gifts of a nine is that, like, when you really get really authentic, people are like, oh, shit, I want to follow that. And it's more like a following the example energy than it's a, we're going this way, follow me there.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I'm like blown away. Just like things you're saying is like, I'm like, this is so freaking weird. Weird in a good way. I mean, just like, just everything that I've learned in the spiritual realm, like astrology and numerology and stuff, like all this stuff is like kind of leading back to that. When you said like Aquarian energy, I'm like, my moon is in Aquarius. So, hey, that sums
and
that up.
Overlaps with astrology.
Yes.
And that's also like, sometimes it's really easy to see when I see people's, I had someone, what were they? Oh, they were a double three. So they were born on a day that adds up to three, and they were born in a year that adds up to three, and then they were an Aries. And I was like, whoa. It is very, that was very linear. It was very like one directional. I was like, nothing here is pulling in the other direction. Most people have energies, and of course we all have more than one energy. Like, just as like your astrology chart, like all your planets can't be in the same house. Like, it just, it has to like spread out. But sometimes it's very like, oh, that's the direction your soul wants to go, so you will do that. As soon as something like, not splinters, but like is a different energy, we get that beautiful juxtaposition of like, I want to do this. This is who I am. And our inside says, yeah, but I'm different. I want to do it like they do it. And that like means that whatever comes out of us will be more personal, more unique in a way. And it'll also just speak to a different group of people when we share about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally, totally agree with that. I'm like, this is just like already blowing my mind just from, you know, me telling you my birthday and how you can see so much already just from those two numbers is like definitely confirmation and validation of everything that I'm doing. So as you can see, it is a spiritual tool that can definitely help you learn more about yourself. So I want to talk about like as far as coaching or how someone uses this in their life, like how do you specifically help someone through numerology, like is it in, you know, in life or business or in love? How can we use these numbers? You know, and I'm sure this is probably going to go a lot deeper than what we can say in an hour, but, you know, just kind of cover the basis of that a little bit.
So just as people, when they are into astrology, get a sense of like, okay, why do I work with this person? Why am I attracted to Scorpios? Like, why do I clash with these people? Why am I, of course, like born into a family of just Geminis? Like as soon as we start to understand other people, like at that, I feel like that's one of the keys when we get beyond our own nose and our own little sphere and we have a sense of like, okay, this is who I am. And then we look at other people and go like, and that's how they are. And then we start talking to them differently. We start treating their ideas differently. Suddenly we interact and work with people in a different way. I mean, I use numerology, of course, for everything. If I have to hire someone, I'm very clear on what kind of base number they need to have. I also do check their numeroscope, and a numeroscope is the interaction of your name with your birthday. So it's kind of a chart. I look at that too, but like knowing who people are at their core means that I can remind them of that in all my interactions. And I can also tell when I am kind of doing my own thing to a degree where it's not really helping anyone, where I'm just like running my own little show and people are like, yeah, I don't resonate with that. Or like, I don't want to hang out with you when you're like this. And also I can kind of understand that everything is a spectrum. You know, like we are not all high vibe, energetically, fully meditated at all times. We are a spectrum and we operate on a spectrum. And I can also tell, like, there are certain cues for me when I'm in the lower end of my spectrum. To put some words on the one energy, if there are other ones out there, like the lowest end of our spectrum is we become kind of like annoying proofreaders. Like we start poking at other people, finding the faults, you know, finding the grammar mistakes in their life and pointing out like all of these things you're doing wrong. We get obsessed with other people's success and tearing it down. It's a lovely low end of that spectrum. And I know when I get obsessive in any way and I start digging into it being like, you're not in integrity. I know that's a cue that I have stepped out of my own creative energy because I'm a one. So leadership, creation, being the first, being the best, wanting attention, that's part of what I'm here to do. Like, so if I am stuck in critiquing, then I'm in the low end of my spectrum. And it's just such an easy of like, what have I been doing today? Okay, I've been doing a lot of critiquing, not a lot of creating. Well, okay, we need to change that for tomorrow because this is not making me happy and it's not making other people happy. And I've even had that. Like I had a client who was like, I'm a proofreader. And I was like, seriously? She was like, yeah, I hate it, but I'm so good at it. And I was like, yeah, I get it. I get why you are, because part of creation is that at some point you have to evaluate what it is. But if you haven't created your own thing and you want to, like her energy had just been directed into critiquing other people's creations. And of course, she was really good at it because like part of her understood what it takes to create something. But she had just got stuck in that thing. And I was like, I'm not saying you have to leave your job, but this is the first time I've ever had a client where I was like, I think you might want to find another job because this is feeding the lowest end of your spectrum. And I'm not saying all proofreaders are like in the wrong job, but for her, I could tell that that was keeping her stuck.
And you said she was basically saying like, I hate it, but I'm good at it.
Yeah. And that's also, you know, like our zone, like we have our zone of genius and we have our zone of excellence. And sometimes we spend a lot of time in the things that we are excellent at. We're so good at it, but it's not our zone of genius, you know? Like it's just not the full expression of what we can do, but it can be hard to leave because like maybe there's good money, maybe it's easy, maybe it comes naturally, maybe people ask us for it. And it's so nice to like, because also our zone of excellence is usually where we're comfortable. And our zone of genius is where we go like, oh no, this is my heart on the line. Like this is really what I want to be doing. This is where I feel super present and I cannot hide, not from myself and not from other people. And of course we can't live like 24/7 in our zone of genius, like also creation or expression takes it out of you. Yeah. But I think sometimes like our zone of excellence, I think this is from The Big Leap, the book by Gay Hendricks.
Okay.
But I think sometimes we get stuck in that zone of excellence for a long time. I mean, there is also people who have like their zone of excellence is taking care of a family. They are so good being parents, so good being caretakers. But, you know, in the end, maybe their zone of genius is being so self-loving and self-caring that they can show other people how that's done.
Right.
But they have redirected their energy into taking care of someone else. Made that's that awesome. Their identity. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So, because I know my biggest thing is like, I know someone's probably thinking, okay, so I want to know what my birthday is going to show me. So is there a tool? Because let's just, I mean, online, there's like all these numerology calculators and things like that. Is there a tool that you specifically recommend that someone could use or like on your website or, you know, all those good things? How could they get started to learn about themselves?
So I would definitely say figure out your base numbers. And then if you go to my website, you can get a a free ebook about the nine base numbers. So you can read like in general terms about what numerology says about your base numbers. And then, of course, I would say like everything is an interaction. So like that doesn't, like my book is also, it's called A Little Bit of Numerology, and you can get it everywhere also as an ebook. And that dives a little bit deeper into all the nine base numbers and also the numeroscope, meaning that you can start to learn about the vibration behind your name, because that interaction is really, really interesting. I have met very few people who have like what I would call a harmonious name, like a fully supportive, lovely name with the vibrations that just makes them be themselves. Most people have names that have some kind of filter, some kind of pattern, some kind of attraction pattern that attracts a certain kind of experience to them. And then depending on what our life goals and lessons and gifts are, that pattern can kind of like, I mean, what usually happens is like it teaches us some very specific tools. So say you have leadership as one of your life goals. Mm-hmm. Leadership can look at as many, many things. The low end of leadership means that we micromanage our family because we don't have any underlings anywhere else. So we micromanage our family. Now say that something in your name says that you are exceptionally sensitive to other people's needs. That actually goes a little bit against that leadership quality in your essence, because you get sucked in to other people's needs and wants and how they see you. And perfectionism is also the pitfall of any kind of leadership energy. That you like develop all these tools, you know, like you take care of people, you explain yourself a lot. Like you get stuck in perfection land instead of like creation land. And so you develop tools. That's what I see over time, that sometimes people with the toughest names have found like the best tools. They get a really deep spiritual toolbox of things to pull on. Like I meet people who are like, yeah, I had to really, really work on this. And I was like, yeah, because when I look at your numeroscope, your subconscious says drama, 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 drama. And so you've had to find a way to clear your subconscious, maybe even daily, to not get stuck in these patterns. So now you teach people that. You teach people to clear their subconscious. And that looks like a great use of your time. But what I want them to do is, of course, get back to their core. So we don't get stuck in the tools or like the name vibrations, the patterns outside of ourselves. Because sometimes we think that we are that. Just as we think we are our thoughts, we think we are some of the tools we have found. And we don't move beyond them. We don't release them. We don't go deeper. We don't get to that zone of genius.
Right.
Does that make sense? I feel like
yes, absolutely.
Detour there.
Yeah. That's, I feel like that's the point where people kind of get stuck. Like you said, you know, you get away from that zone of genius, or, you know, you do find this tool and you're relying on it all the time without actually putting in the work. Like, even though you have these tools and they're going to bring a lot of, you know, enlightenment to you, there's still some work that's going to need to be done. Like, it's just, that's just life. There's always going to be something that you need to work on to be the best version of yourself.
Yeah. And also just like to clear the cobwebs.
Yes.
You know, if we think of ourselves kind of like a house, like if no one walks around inside that house for a while, like if no one takes care of it, like the dust kind of gets stuck and, you know, we need like a clear out. Yeah. So like finding out your base numbers can be super helpful, because that's also like, am I doing it? Like if leadership is one of my themes, am I hiding? Am I like micromanaging my husband instead of like, I need to hire an employee, or like, I need to go for a higher position in this company, or like, I need to stop hiding my accomplishments. I need to ask for the raise. Like, you know, like some of those things. Or
yeah,
like knowing your base numbers is really, really helpful. And then when you dive into the name vibrations, you can start to see some of the patterns. And they are always interesting, because who do we get our names from? We get them from our parents.
Yes. And speaking of names, what about like family names? Like your family name, does that carry, obviously, a vibration, you know, that carries on through generations?
Yes. It's all, I mean, I'm such a nerd with this. But I love looking at the patterns of our parents, because they will always pass on what they know, also beyond last names. Last names, of course, like go through families and they rarely change.
Yeah.
Except for women. Women often take their husband's name. Or, you know, for some reason, I've also seen that, like, when kids get adopted, for some reason, girls will get, you know, a stepdad's name or something, but right. not always boys. I feel like there's certain patterns with male and female.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just certain patterns that's interesting. When I changed my name, I was very clear that I didn't want a last name that identified me as male property. Like, I didn't want a last
name
on son, because, like, that's the pattern of, like, being, you know, Jen's son, you know, like all the names that end on son. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Nope.
So when I picked Wilder, I was like, it's kind of neutral in terms of, like, I love the sound, I love what it means, but it's not necessarily, like, connected to someone.
Right.
And for some reason, like, that family connection is really important. But I don't need a name to belong.
Right.
That is not, the part for me. Wait, what was your question?
Oh, like the energy of the family name.
Yeah. So people pass on family names, but they often also pass on the energy. Like, even if it's not the same name, they will find a different name that have the same energy and give that to their child. Mm. So once in a while, I will have someone who's like, just give me a good name. And I'm like, I mean, I can give you a list of names that have, like, a good energy that's like a Band-Aid. I would much rather do a harmonious numeroscope where all the names will fit this person. But usually people will say, like, I didn't like any of the names on this list. And I'm like, there is 150 names on this list.
You couldn't.
Any of them. And what I can see is that none of these vibrations are something they know. So they will be a little bit repelled by it. And they will end up choosing a name that fits with the energy they have. And that's also why, like, things do, like, if there's, like, a theme about unexpressed anger in a name, and that's one of the family names, then that will be intensified. Also think, when a group of people who all carry the same vibration of unexpressed anger meet for a family gathering.
Oh my God, that's my family.
Yeah, that gets a little intense. Or I can also see, you know, sometimes I see, like, in a family, like, when I look at my own family, I'm like, everyone is so strong. Like, all our base numbers are so strong. And then I see other families where I'm like, oh my God, this is a family of gentler base numbers.
Yeah.
Their issues are so different. How they deal with certain things are so different. Like, it's a completely different family. Or, you know, and then, like, you have a group of twos. Two is a gentle base number connected to the moon and Cancer and way more feminine and intuitive. And then, like, two parents get, like, a nine kid.
It blows their mind.
Because, like, they are not going to understand each other. Like, they are going to love each other. They're going to take care of each other. They might be great parents. But they do not understand the energy of their child from their own, like, experience. And that's all, like, also, like, the patterns of understanding that, why do our parents, like, talk a certain way about certain things? Like, why are they so stuck on, like, certain ways of living? And that also comes back to their base numbers.
Wow, that is so funny when you said that about families, because I feel that way about my family. Like, my dad's side of the family, which is Cowan, the last name, it's definitely, like, unexpressed anger. And then my mom's side, which is Watt, W-A-T-T, like, they are just, like, the open side of the family. They talk about everything. And so, you know, me being the kid, I've always been in the middle of this. I'm like, I've got the side that doesn't want to talk about shit, and then I've got the side that talks about everything, like... You know?
Yeah. And then, I mean, it's always interesting because, like, you are, like, the nine energy is the end of the line. So even if you have siblings or whatever, there's, like, there is a speaking truth to power energy there, where it's like, you're going to call it out.
Yes.
And they sometimes you won't. And they will be like, wait, you're supposed to call this out.
Right. We know Regis is going to say something. You know, that's right. And if I don't, they're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's.
And see, like, that's also, like, we are gifts to each other, even in the most, like, weird dysfunctional constellations, there is always a gift in, like, our family relationships. Sometimes we just have to dig a lot to find it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or get some distance and then find it.
Absolutely. I love this. I have so many questions, but look, I'm trying to keep it to a minimum here because I know that numerology, you know, pretty much can impact all areas of your life. I mean, you know, love, relationships, money. One of my biggest things was like your home vibration or home energy.
Oh, yes.
The address, location.
Yes. I mean, house numbers. Oh, my God. I think that's one of the like one of my first blog posts I ever did was on like house numbers. And I find that that's one of the things that people really search for. So I will find that people will like email me and be like, this is so interesting. Like, I have now like mapped out my life and all the places I've lived. And I understand like how to like why I like thrived in this area, but not in that area.
Yes.
Like, why I didn't never felt at home. Like, I have a story with that. Like, I my very first apartment that I bought myself was a 7, which is very like spiritual, open, healing. And like, I had a whole like, yeah, I had a spiritual awakening in that energy. And then my mom passed and I bought her apartment, and it seemed like on paper, it was such a good trade up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like on paper, it was very like, yeah, why not like sell this tiny apartment and buy this bigger apartment and, you know, like inheritance and whatever. And I was so sad.
Aww.
When I sold that 7 apartment. I'm still a little bit sad about it. And then I bought this apartment that was an 8. An 8 is way more strong, isolated,
mm-hmm.
can be a little bit challenging, and can be a little bit like its own island, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I really felt that when I moved into that apartment. And I was like, if I had known, if I had known back then, I would have been like, you guys, you keep that big apartment.
Yeah,
someone else, like, let's take the money. You know, it's fine.
Yeah.
I would have kept that 7 apartment. It was also, it was striking that the person I bought it from had never actually lived there, had only used it as like a healing studio.
Oh.
So for like 10 years, everyone coming there had just come to get healing and then leave. So it was a very like high vibrational space, but I didn't like, you know, you live and you learn.
Right.
now when I look for apartments and the next time we're going to move, because I think we're moving maybe out of LA because LA is not quite the same as it was.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think I will actually be looking for a 7 apartment because I'm like, I need to come home to that energy again.
Yeah.
It's very lovely.
That is so cool because I did that in my last few apartments too, like just figuring out the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way I figured it out, which, you know, you can tell me this is wrong, I took the number of the actual apartment and like added it up and reduced it down to whatever numbers. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a house, it's very easy. It's a house number.
Yeah.
When you have an apartment building, it seems to me at least that the apartment numbers are stronger than the building number.
Okay.
And one of my teachers said, like, it's because so many people, like, step on the building energy. Like, when you have maybe, like, 50 people living in a building or more, they, like, step on that energy walking in. And it really is, like, the apartment number that's stronger.
Awesome.
But you will still be able, like, you know, say you have a, I don't know, a 2 an apartment in a 9 apartment building. You will still, like, feel that 9 energy a little bit. But it is the apartment number that counts. And all, like, if it has a letter, you find the number behind that letter.
Yes.
And add that to it.
That's so cool. I'm like, people think I'm crazy because I do stuff like that. I go, I don't know if we want to stay in that one because that's an 8 or that's a 1. Or they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, just trust me. That's not going to work.
It's do your own little, like, Sherlock Holmes stuff with this. You know, look at the different places you've lived, the different numbers, who you shared it with, too, because that means something, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of 9s living in a 2 is different than a bunch of 2s living in a 9. So, like, look at who's sharing the space with you and how they're dealing with it, and like, look at the patterns and see, because also, like, on paper, we can be like, oh, I would love to live in a whatever,
right?
A 5 apartment. Lots of friends, lots of people over, lots of energy, good for like having a business, selling stuff, connecting with people. But maybe if you look at your patterns, you're like, I could never sleep.
Yeah.
So stressed out. Like, the energy was running in and out the door. Like, people were knocking without calling first. Like,
yeah.
Oh. So like sometimes what we think we need is not what we need. So like look at the patterns.
And we have to find that balance.
Look at the information you have, you know, examine the data.
Yeah. That's so cool. Okay, I'm going to stop there because I'm like, I have another question after that. Talking about homes and people living in them and different energies and managing them. But I'll save that for another time. This has just been so fun and so enlightening. I'm so glad you could join us on the podcast and share your wisdom on numerology. I know people are probably interested now to figure out their numbers, you know, what they mean, how it's affecting their life, you know, if they should do a name change. So just tell us a little bit about how we can connect with you, your website, you know, what social media platforms you're on.
Yes. So if you want to know more about yourself, go to NovaLeeWilder.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms except TikTok.
Yeah.
Because I can't.
Me neither.
I just can't. So I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Pinterest, I'm on Facebook, I'm all these places. I also have a podcast, the Numerology Podcast. Ooh. I cannot believe that no one had snapped up that name. I
was like, right.
I'm taking it. yeah, so if you want to listen to me talk about these things some more, you can listen to the Numerology Podcast. I really recommend my book, A Little Bit of Numerology. It's a very easy, affordable, and cute way of getting to know the numbers and like getting to calculate your numeroscope, because that's one of the things that you will not find so much online.
Right.
You can find things that talk a little bit about the different name vibrations, and you can definitely find things that talk about the different base numbers. And you have to, if you want to start Googling, then Chaldean numerology is the, I mean, in my opinion, the way to go for a more practical, in my opinion, way of approaching the numbers. Yeah, and I mean, like, I have lots of blog posts and stuff like that. I do readings, just like super short, clear ones. I do full readings where we also look, we didn't touch about that.
Yes.
Touch on that in this, but like, we can look at past and future patterns too.
Ooh.
These are also influenced by your name, which is why when you change your name, you do change your future. Because different patterns will come from a new name.
Right. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I do case studies. I nerd out. I want to do one on Stephen King. I had a conversation with my husband. I was like, I don't know. Like sometimes I wish I was more, what do the people want?
Yeah.
I'm not that kind of person. What am I interested in? So sometimes I will do, yeah, like, I don't know, things that people didn't ask for.
Right.
No one asked for Stephen King, but I think I want to do
it. But I want to do it because it's so cool.
Yeah, I want to, I mean, I also maybe want to do some case studies on, like, comparing different famous people, because that's also, like, how do different people use their base numbers? If someone is famous in a good way,
right,
I can just tell you right now, they are using their base number. They are in some way or shape or form famous for that energy. I mean, even if they have a shitty numeroscope, like if they have name vibrations that are not supportive, they have somehow found a way to use their own energy. Because that really is like, not that everyone wants to be famous, but if you want to be known for something, you will have to use yourself.
Right.
You will have to get to that zone of genius.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so find me everywhere as Novalee Wilder, and I'm also on Instagram. I'm mostly on Instagram.
Me too.
It already feels old school.
Yes, it is, but hey, it feels good to me, so yeah. That's what I'm going with. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. I will put all the links in the show notes so you can connect with Novalee and go to her website, NovaLeeWilder.com, download her ebook, sign up for her newsletter, and definitely check out her podcast. The Numerology Podcast, as we said. And I will talk to you guys on the next episode. Thanks for listening to Spiritual Shit You Need to Know, the podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe or follow and leave a review wherever you listen. Don't forget to sign up for your free life crisis guide at bit.ly/free-crisis-guide. And follow me on Instagram at The Holistic Sojourner for more spiritual shit.